Hare Krishna. Good morning, dear devotees. Some glories to Srila Prabhupada. We are reading from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 4. Excuse me. Text 111. Yes, thank you. I see some nodding confirmations. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tatapyasyam Vajakshama, excuse me. Tatapyasyam Vajakshmayam Prabhum sa parivarakam Viharantam tata nikshe Kidhyate smeti man manaha. Translation. Yet my mind would still feel sad because I couldn't see the Lord and his companions play as they do here in the land of Raj. No commentary. Text 112. Kadapi tatropavane shalilaya tatala santam nichite shago ganai Pasyam yamum karhyapi purva vatstitam nijasane sva prabhu vachcha savarta. Occasionally, in the gardens of Vaikuntha, I would see my Lord appear as in Vraj, performing his pastimes, and I would see the gardens filled with herds of cows. At other times, I would see him sitting as usual on his throne in all splendor, but looking just like my Lord Gopal. Commentary. Sometimes Gopal Kumar caught glimpses of Lord Narayan playing in the Vaikuntha gardens like a cowherd managing his cows. Even inside the Lord's grand palace, where the Lord sat on his best of thrones, flanked by devotees like Lakshmi, Dharani, Shesha, and Garuda, Gopal Kumar sometimes saw him appearing like Sri Gopal in all aspects of his dress, entourage, and other features. I'll do one more verse. Tatapi tasmin paramesha buddhe vaikuntha loka gamana smitescha sanjayamana jaragoravena tat prema hanya swamano natripyet. Even so, because I knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because I remember And because I remembered that I had come to Vaikuntha Loka, feelings of respect and reverence would arise in me, and these would block my pure love and leave my mind dissatisfied. Commentary. Seeing Lord Narayan as Madan Gopal pushed aside Gopakumar's awareness that the Lord was the almighty controller of everything. But then Gopakumar would remember that he was in Vaikuntha, where awe and reverence for the Lord predominate. Affected by the mood of Vaikuntha, Gopakumar was unable to feel the same free flow of prema as before. Om Agyananti Mirandasya Garanjana Shalakaya Chaksho Unminitam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Bhangam Langayate Garim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Tananam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pastuchade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gauravaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Last time we were speaking about Krishna as Sarvajna Shiromani. Excuse me. I need to turn these sounds off. Sarvajna Shiromani means that he was the crest jewel of all omniscient persons, the Lord. Being the crest jewel of all omniscient persons, how he fully understood everything that was, as we said, in Gopakumar's heart because of his omniscience. And therefore, that explained the reason why Gopakumar would sometimes get the opportunity to glimpse at Lord Madan Gopal and to see him flanked on both sides by Radharani and Chandravali and by his cowherd boyfriends. Because, as Sanatana Goswami explained in the commentary, it was not by Gopakumara's powers that he was able to perceive that, but it was because the Lord was Sarvajna Shiromani, and he understood what Gopakumara was thinking of, and therefore he gave him the opportunity to obtain these visions, which he would sometimes see, but here is described in these verses, although he would sometimes see, sometimes due to the influence of that place, and I should say more than sometimes, most of the time, due to the influence of that place, as described here by Sanatana Goswami, that he wasn't able to see. So, on one hand, the Lord is omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, and can certainly do anything he may wish to do. But on the other hand, we see the examples that are given here that although He is certainly capable of doing anything that he wishes to do. By the influence of that place, which comes up again and again and again, not only that place, but by the influence of the associates who are predominantly aware of the Lord's divinity and opulences in that place, Gopakumara is affected by that. And therefore, these visions of Madan Gopal and his intimate associates were not sustainable. And of course, I think we didn't read it yet. It's coming up. The other element that made it hard for Gopakumara, even though he did see, and it was not sustainable, but he didn't get the embraces and affectionate dealings which he was hoping to obtain from Madan Gopal. That was lacking. And as will be explained in the second verse to come, he wasn't embraced, he wasn't kissed. It was more of a formal exchange, which the Lord, because of the place, again and again, we come back again to the very, very important point, because of the place, he couldn't do it. Because it would be out of place, and because he's drawn to the predominant mood of that place, and being obliged to the predominant mood of those he loves and those who love him, if he were to reveal something like that, it would really put most of the resonance there in a very bewildered state. And in fact, that point also comes up in a few verses to come from now. It comes up in a point that we discussed once before, when the Lord disappears for just like a moment, but still he disappears. But that moment happened to be almost comparable to a day of Brahma. He disappears and he goes and he descends someplace, and then Gopakumara sees everybody grief-stricken by the apparent disappearance of the Lord from Vaikuntha, but nobody talks about it. And nobody, although they're grief-stricken, they don't talk about it. And the reason why they don't talk about it is because they don't really understand where he went, but it doesn't last very long because there's no such thing as being grief-stricken for very long in Vaikuntha. And in a moment, he's back and everybody's in ecstasy that he's back. But they don't talk about it. And even those who are aware of it, they won't bring it out in the open. It's sort of like it's a tacit understanding amongst those small groups who are aware of it that you don't talk about those things around here. And this is going to come up in a future verse. I'm just adding this again to the point that is repeatedly revealed in these verses, that the place is not the place for Gopakumara. And again, repeatedly, we've also said it's essentially the very answer to the preliminary question that was asked by Uttara: is there a place? is there a place where special devotees who have special love can express their special love, the Lord will reciprocate with their special love, And there'll be no intimidation whatsoever for the Lord to be his complete self in their presence. Because it doesn't seem fair. And because Uttara, and when she asked that question up until that point, she didn't know that such a place exists. And as we see repeatedly, Gopakumara also doesn't yet know. He doesn't yet know. He still thinks that maybe this is the place. But if this is the place, why am I feeling like this? So, and the verse that we just read is a very nice point. He says, even so, because I knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because I remembered that I had come to Vaikuntha Loka, feelings of respect and reverence would arise in me, and these would block my pure love and leave my mind dissatisfied. So this is also another very interesting point, that he was conscious that he was in Vaikuntha Loka. And that is another distinction that exists between the residents of Vaikuntha Loka and the residents of Goloka. As we began to speak about, I believe last time, I think it was last time to this group, we began to speak about that because Yogamaya, she fulfills all the desires of the Lord and all the desires of the devotees of the Lord, and she makes all the arrangements, and she's, her activities are predominantly her activities are in Goloka, and also her activities is in this material world when the Lord brings his abode to the material world. Also, she comes to make all these arrangements too for the Lord in his pastimes. But I quoted, and I said I had read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I remembered reading one verse where Prabhupada explained that in Vaikuntha, Yogamaya is not there. And I wanted to read some of those verses and the purport that Prabhupada wrote about Yogamaya. And, actually speaks about Yogamaya in one purport, but I'm going to read several verses. And interestingly, these verses are Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami and in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the Lord Chaitanya is describing the opulences of the Lord. And as he was describing the opulences of the Lord, and as Lord Chaitanya was remembering the Lord actually became ecstatic in remembrance of Krishna and his opulences that are manifested in Goloka. And in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he started feeling these conjugal sentiments as he was speaking to Sanatana Goswami, and then began to recite verses about Krishna in Goloka and how his opulences are manifested in Goloka. And it, one of those verses, he speaks about Yogamaya. So I wanted to read these verses. They're in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And they are Madhya Lila, chapter 21. And well, we'll begin with text 97. Usually there's somebody who posts all the verses, and I might have to keep you busy for a few verses I'm going to read. This is text 97, and this is Lord Chaitanya speaking to Sanatan Goswami. Because he possesses the spiritual potencies which fulfill all his desires, Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the Vedic version. The spiritual potencies are Yoga Maya. I think also we refer to a potency who also fulfills every one of Krishna's desires. This we referred to in a pastime once before with Mother Jasoda as his Satya Sankalpa Shakti, which is the potency which any desire the Lord has. And the potencies have to do it for him. And the reason why the potencies do it for him and act perfectly according to his will is because sometimes when he's overwhelmed by his premi bhaktas, he forgets. And he doesn't do it himself, so his potencies have to arrange it for him. And that is how his potencies act in Goloka. That is how Yogamaya takes care of the events in Goloka simultaneously, perfectly, whenever it's required. She's right there to orchestrate, because at times, by the power of the devotee's pure love, Krishna forgets his divinity and becomes completely subservient and totally captivated and drawn into the heart and the mood of those who love him in that way, so much so he just forgets. So instead of having to deal with it himself and make all the arrangements, his potencies, Parashya Shakti Vividhaiva Shriyate, his perfect potencies take care of it for him. So this verse says, Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Sanatana Goswami, because he possesses the spiritual potency which fulfill all his desires, Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the Vedic version. Next verse. The unlimited potencies of Krishna are just like an ocean of nectar. Since one cannot bathe within that ocean, I have only touched a drop of it. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing the opulences and spiritual potency of Krishna, potencies of Krishna, way, the awakening of love of Krishna within him. His mind became immersed in the sweetness of conjugal love. And he quoted the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Another very important point to understand, because we always talk about this madhuya, the sweetness of Krishna's Goloka pastimes, and Aishvarya, the opulences of his Vaikuntha pastimes. An important point, I was just reading this morning, actually, in one commentary, but it's an important point that I touched on once before, but I wanted to bring out once again, is that it's not that Aishvarya doesn't exist in Goloka. Aishvarya does exist in Goloka, but it's always covered by madhurya. It's covered by sweetness. How does Aishvarya exist in Goloka? Well, just consider raising a hill and holding on the pinky of one's hand is certainly a quite a mystical event, if you take it into consideration. it's something that's quite fantastic. But somehow, you know, Mother Jasoda thinks that Krishna's getting tired. Krishna's getting emaciated from all that work, as much as Krishna's trying to convince her that, oh, Mother, this like it's like holding up a cotton swab. Don't worry, I'm not stressed at all. And Madhu Mangal, he's joking. He says, actually, don't worry, everybody. Krishna's not holding the hill. I chanted Vedic mantras, and it's my mantras which are holding up the hill. and everybody is, you know, speaking in a way that's obviously they're relishing their particular mood and relationships that are there. And everybody is, all this is happening while Krishna's holding up a hill for 7 days and seven nights. So Aishvarya's there, such as the holding of the hill as he did and everything else. That's only one example. It's the first that came to my mind. But it's always covered by Madhurya, the sweetness of the moods that the devotees relish. And they never become overwhelmed by his godliness. Even when Mother Jasoda, when she was looking in Krishna's mouth, she became overwhelmed when she saw inside Krishna's mouth looking for dirt. She saw everything, all the universes, she saw the material world and all the different manifestations of the Lord. She saw herself holding Krishna on her lap. And for a moment, she started to think, but what's happening to me? Am I becoming possessed? And Krishna saw what was happening to her, and he immediately took care of it so that she wouldn't be so overwhelmed by it. And then what did she start thinking? She started thinking, maybe I should offer prayers to Narayan to protect my son, because somehow we're being influenced by some spirit here that it just happened in that way. And of course, the residents of Goloka, in many instances, because they heard it from Garga Muni, and they heard that Krishna is as good as Narayan, but they think that the Lord Narayan somehow steps in and takes care of all of these things. Even they think that Lord Narayan was holding Govardhan Hill, well, although it looked like Krishna was holding it. And that's the nature of their prema, is that although such wonderful things happen by the powers, opulences, and the potencies of the Supreme Lord, their mood of motherly affection, friendly affection, conjugal affection is not changed. So this is the nature of his Naralila, his human-like pastimes, which are manifested in the Goloka, and similarly manifested in Gokul. In fact, another example. I told this pastime once before, and I won't tell the whole pastime again, but it was the pastime when the cowherd men, they heard from Nanda Maharaj about the reverential treatment that Krishna got from Varuna. And when they heard from Nanda Maharaj about the reverential treatment, they started to think, hey, maybe he is God. Why otherwise, why all this, you know, this reverential treatment, why all this paraphernalia, everything else that they did? And they started to think that way. And then they started to think, hey, if he's God, you know, why doesn't he show us his abode? If he's God. And Krishna, there's one verse in that section. Let me see if I can find it. I'll come back to Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's very relevant and it's very connected. But here, let me see if I can find this verse. I have it down somewhere. It's a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. It's a 10th canto, 28th chapter, 13th verse. Krishna was thinking, when all the cowherd men were speaking in this way, Krishna was thinking. Versus Krishna thought, my eternal associates wandering in this world among people who take higher and lower bodies because of karma, desire, and ignorance, they do not recognize my eternal abode. So Krishna was thinking this way, that they didn't realize, of course, they were in Gokul. They were in Gokul, but he was thinking, they don't recognize my eternal abode. They don't understand their glorious position. They don't understand that they're the highest. Here they are in this world, in my abode, Balma Vrindavan, transcendental abode, but they're thinking there's something greater than this. And in the next verse, he says, and it says, thus deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Personality of God, Hari, revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond material darkness. And in the commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Sanchintya, the situation, Krishna, out of his infinite compassion for the Vrajavasis, separated the cowherd men from Vrindavan for a few moments and showed them his own attractively charming spiritual planet, Krishna Loka. Krishna did this to show them that the sweetness of Vrindavan was superior to Brahman and Vaikuntha. Now, why did Krishna do that? He did it because they didn't know. Contrary to Gopakumara. Gopakumara was constantly reminded, hey, I'm in Vaikuntha. That was his, and that, hey, I'm in Vaikuntha, that was bringing his mind back to the mood of Vaikuntha, the mood of reverence that the residents of Vaikuntha have for the Lord, the display of opulences that the Lord was giving, and because of the place, his mind was constantly coming back to, and he couldn't help but remember, I'm in Vaikuntha. And being in Vaikuntha means you relating to what happens in Vaikuntha. But the residents of Goloka, they don't think, hey, I'm in Goloka. They don't know it. That's their Jnana Sunya Bhakti. That's their Kevala Bhakti. That's their highest knowledge, is they don't know. They don't even know how great they are. They think, hey, if Krishna's God, for a moment they thought that way, then why doesn't he show us his place? Why they were thinking that? Because they were thinking, we're just in this place. He must have God's place. And, you know, Narayan has his place. What's Narayan's place? Well, we'd like to see it. Why doesn't he show it to us? So Krishna was thinking, well, in order in order for them to know where they are now, first thing he had to do is show them where they were. That's the first thing he showed them. So he took them out of Gokul and he showed them Goloka. And they saw Goloka Vrindavan. And then they descended. Where did they descend? They descended to the Brahma Jyoti, and then from the Brahma Jyoti, they went to Vaikuntha, and then they saw what was going on in Vaikuntha. They were thinking, hey, we're missing something. They felt the same way that Gopakumara is feeling continuously. They felt momentarily. They felt, what? This is, and then Krishna immediately, because he showed them Goloka first, then he brought them, arranged to bring them all back to Gokul, and they were happy. And when they completely forgot about it, and only thing they knew is they were just thinking like parental affection towards Krishna, because that's how they think towards Krishna, the elderly gopas. They have these feelings of parental affection, like he's their son. And of course, Krishna arranged all that through the Brahma Vamohana Leela. But anyways, that's how Yogamaya works. I shouldn't say work. That's how Yogamaya relishes the service she has as Krishna's potency. Always thinking about how to arrange all these wonderful pastimes to give pleasure to the Lord and his devotees. So anyways, this is back to Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are things that I thought of, where how Yogamaya so perfectly in Goloka just arranges everything. But in Vaikuntha, Gopakumara just wasn't getting the same, well, I shouldn't say, he wasn't getting what he was expecting. So back to Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we were reading, the last verse we read is, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing the opulences and spiritual potencies of Krishna in this way, there was an awakening of love of Krishna within him. His mind became immersed in the sweetness of conjugal love. And he quoted the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And the verse he quoted was from the third canto of the Bhagavatam. To exhibit the strength of his own spiritual potency, because Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Sanatana Goswami about Krishna's potencies. To exhibit the strength of his own spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his pastimes in the material world. This form was wonderful, even for him, and was the supreme abode of the wealth of good fortune. Its limbs were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of his body. And the purport, Prabhupada says, this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam is stated in the conversation between Vaidura and Uddhava. Uddhava thus begins his description of the pastimes of Sri Krishna in his form exhibited by Yogamaya. Next text. Lord Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastimes as being are the best. His form as a human being is the supreme transcendental form. In this form, he is a cowherd boy, carries a flute in his hand, and his youth is new. He is also an expert dancer. All this is just suitable for his pastimes as a human being. My dear Sanatan, the sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna is so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all three worlds in the ocean of love. He attracts all living entities within the three worlds. Next verse. The transcendental form of Krishna is shown to the world by the Lord's internal spiritual energy, which is a transformation of pure goodness. This jewel-like form is the most confidential treasure of the devotees. This form is manifested from Krishna's eternal pastimes. Some residents of Vaikuntha wouldn't like this verse. Not suitable glorification. It's temporary, illusory form. Just adopted it to cheat Kamsa, that's all. And this verse, this is the verse, the purport I was talking about. The wonderful form of Krishna in his personal feature is so great that it attracts even Krishna to taste his own association. Indeed, Krishna becomes very eager to taste it. Total beauty, knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, and renunciation are the six opulences of Krishna. He is eternally situated in his opulences. Purport. Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, the Gokula Leela, are supreme. He also has pastimes in the Vaikunthas, spiritual world, as Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. In his pastimes in the material sky, he lies down in the causal ocean as Karanavashayi, the Purusha avatar. His incarnations as a fish, tortoise, and so on are called his causal incarnations. He incarnates in the modes of nature as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. He also incarnates as empowered living entities like Prithu and Vyas. The Supersoul is his localized incarnation. And his all-pervasive aspect is the impersonal Brahman. All different features of the Lord. When we consider impartially, to be impartial. When we consider impartially all the unlimited pastimes of the Lord, we find that his pastimes as a human being on this planet, wherein he sports as a cowherd boy with a flute in his hands and appears youthful and fresh like a ballet dancer, are pastimes and features that are never subjected to material laws and inhibitors. The wonderful beauty of Krishna is presented in the supreme planet, Gokula, Goloka Vrindavan. Inferior to that is his representation in the spiritual sky, and inferior to that is his representation in the external energy, Devidam. A mere drop of Krishna's sweetness can drown these three worlds, Goloka Vrindavan, Haridam, Vaikuntha Loka, and Devidam, the material world. Everywhere Krishna's beauty merges everyone in the ecstasy of transcendental bliss. Actually, everywhere. Of course, exceptional beauty is found in this form, but everywhere. Because, as Prabhupada said in the beginning, from an impartial point of view, he had to speak from an impartial point of view. And he presented the different gradations. Everywhere Krishna's beauty merges everyone in the ecstasy of transcendental bliss. Actually, the activities of Yogamaya are absent in the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets. She simply works in the supreme planet, Goloka Vrindavan, and she works, Prabhupada uses the word works too, but and she works to manifest the activities of Krishna when he descends to the material universe to please his innumerable devotees within the material world. Thus, a replica of the Goloka Vrindavan planet and the pastimes there is manifest on this planet on a specific tract of land, Bhauma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan Dham on this planet. So that was the verse where Prabhupada describes about Yogamaya and how she's absent in spiritual sky and Vaikuntha planets. And she simply works in Goloka Vrindavan. And she, therefore, why did Krishna ask her to come? Because she had to do her work also in Bhauma. And therefore, Krishna asked her to descend before him so she could make all the different arrangements for Krishna's appearance in Bhauma Vrindavan. Of course, that was her initial service in Bhauma Vrindavan. Many other wonderful manifestations of her service also are displayed in Bhauma Vrindavan, because as what will be revealed later in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and Gopa Kumara will make this point very clear to the Mathura Brahman. Actually, here, there, it's the same. For him, you know, of course, one is Goloka and Bhauma. When he's in Bhauma, the same pastimes are going on in Bhauma. Some differences, and we talked about those before, but that's too much detailed to go into right now. Point that Gopal Kumara will bring to light. Internet connection is unstable. Am I still here? Yes? Okay. is that both places, Bhauma Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, the Lord's pastimes manifest and going on with the help of Yogamaya to serve the Lord and to serve his confidential associates, both those who descend with him and those, not only those who descend with him, but those who are joining him. And those who join him, they join and they get to hear and associate with those eternal associates who descend with him, and they get fully prepared, fully prepared for next up. So that is, and Yogamaya is there. Just as we see how Yogamaya made different arrangements in Krishna's pastimes in Bhauma Vrindavan. We can talk about that some other time. But she made arrangements for the gopis, you know, who are those who want to, who are qualified to join Krishna in the Rasa Lila. Yogamaya, she left bodies next to all the husbands, so they would think that my wife hasn't left me. So that the gopis could go and join Krishna in the forest. She's there making all these arrangements. Mboma and Goloka. All right. So the point is, and the point, I guess the central point, which I was trying to expand on, is that that as described by Sanatana Goswami, and described by Gopakumara, because I knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because I remembered that I had come to Vaikuntha, Loka, feelings of respect and reverence would arise in me, and this would block my pure love and leave my mind dissatisfied. And as Sanatana Goswami says in the purport commentary, that Gopakumara would remember that he was in Vaikuntha, where awe and reverence for the Lord predominate. Affected by the mood of Vaikuntha, Gopakumara was unable to feel the same free flow of prema as before. We will end here. I don't have any kirtan tonight, so I can chant a little while with you. Kirtan will be tomorrow night. Its kirtan is on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And so we'll begin our japa. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadar Hari Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Before I end, there is a few more verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I somehow forgot. Very nicely connected to the verses that I had already read, and to the commentary. Somehow, my mind was focused on the commentary, and then I failed to include these few verses that come afterwards, which explain about Krishna's opulence, specifically speaking about his beauty and how that beauty, beautiful form of the cowherd boy with a flute and dancing just like a ballet dancer is the most deep display of his beauty, which attracts everyone. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, he was expressing these verses in his mood, as we just it was described, the mood that entered in his heart as he began describing them. And then these verses that come after the last verse I read, it just continues a little bit more. And I just wanted to read them. I won't give any commentary. They speak for themselves. And last verse, we said, the wonderful form of Krishna in his personal feature is so great that it attracts even Krishna to taste his own association. Indeed, Krishna becomes very eager to taste it. Total beauty, knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, and renunciation are the six opulences of Krishna. He is eternally situated in his opulences. Ornaments caress that body, but the transcendental body of Krishna is so beautiful that it beautifies the ornaments he wears. Therefore, Krishna's body is said to be the ornament of ornaments. Enhancing the wonderful beauty of Krishna is his three-curved style of standing, Above all these beautiful features, Krishna's eyes dance and move obliquely, acting like arrows to pierce the minds of Srimati Radharani and the arrow succeeds in hitting its target, their minds become agitated. The beauty of Krishna's body is so attractive that it attracts not only the demigods and other living entities within this material world, but the personalities of the spiritual sky as well, including the Narayanas, who are expansions of Krishna's personality. The minds of the Narayanas are thus attracted by the beauty of Krishna's body. In addition, the goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis, who are the wives of the Narayanas, and are the women described in the Vedas as most chaste, are also attracted by the wonderful beauty of Krishna. As we told before, why Lakshmi wanted, she was meditating on that form, but still she didn't. Her chastity was not in any way disturbed. She performed austerities, but Krishna said to her, no, you can't come to Rasa Leela, but you can always stay in my chest. Just like all the gopis are embraced in my chest, you can always stay on my chest in the form of Srivatsa. So she resides there. That's when we told that story of how Lakshmi became attracted to Krishna's form. So Narayanas are attracted. Lakshmis are attracted. And this is the last verse. Well, there's so many other verses, but I'll make this the last verse. Favoring the gopis, Krishna rides on the chariots of their minds. And just favoring the gopis, Krishna rides in the chariots of their minds. And just to receive loving service from them, he attracts their minds like Cupid. Therefore, he is also called Madamohan, the attractor of Cupid. Cupid has five arrows representing form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. Krishna is the owner of these five arrows, and with his Cupid-like beauty, he conquers the minds of the gopis, though they are very proud of their super excellent beauty. Becoming a new Cupid, Krishna attracts their minds and engages in the rasa dance. Okay, I will end here. Thank you very much. I think I muted you all, so I can unmute you. No? Oh, are you not? Oh, you can unmute. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 glorious to the Prabhupada again.
Thank you, Deb.